Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Issues. My guest has written a controversial book called How to Make a Talk Show Host Look Stupid. That's the title. Oh, yeah? Well, let's get into it with the author, Seymour Pottinger. All right, now look, Mr. Pottinger, you're not going to make this talk show host look stupid because I don't...
He's not here.
Hmm?
He's not
here. I said I'm not going to let the...
He's not here.
What?
The author's not here. He didn't show up.
He didn't?
No.
But I promoted him as a coming guest all week.
I know.
This is not...
His book is called How to Make a Talk Show Host Look...
I know.
Stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
I did not have a lot of ability as a kid. My dad wanted me to have everything that everybody else had. I think the first thing that he ever bought me was a football. And I was very young, and he didn't know a lot about it. He came from the old country. And, we tried to pass it and throw it and kick it, and we couldn't do it, and it was very discouraging for him and for me. And we almost quit. And finally, we had a nice enough neighbor came over and put some air in it. And what a difference.
I love this guy. I don't know if you know the name Bob Uecker, Lisa. But,
I don't.
You don't? You never heard of him? Okay.
I've heard of Bob Barker. I've heard of... Bob the Builder. I've heard of Bob Odenkirk, but I've not heard of who's this person?
Bob Uecker, U-E-C-K-E-R. He was 90 years old and just a wonderfully hilarious guy. He was a baseball player, but he wasn't a very good baseball player back in the 1960s. And he made fun of the fact that he was not a good baseball player. And just so appealing to me, self-deprecating humor. And he probably really got most noticed when he made over 100 appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, because he could lay Carson out. Here's a little bit of Bob Uecker on The Tonight Show.
Were you ever in a World Series?
1964, Johnny, with the St. Louis Cardinals. We beat the New York Yankees in that series. And I think a major role, the final 2 weeks of the season, the St. Louis Cardinals had me injected with hepatitis.
Probably cut into your playing time, didn't it, a little bit?
No, a little bit. I was a beautiful shade of yellow. You had to see me. Yeah. I appreciate it. But, the big thing with, the World Series, I think, Johnny, is it's not the money thing that is so important to players. It's the ring, the championship ring. And the following year, this is a World Series ring here. And the following year when they have the award ceremonies at the ballpark, each player receives their ring. And when they threw mine in the grass in left field, it was... Such a thrill.
Obviously, you found it.
I found it about the fourth inning.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was also famous as a sportscaster for over 50 years with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was their play-by-play guy.
At the end of two complete, it is Milwaukee nothing, California nothing. And now the funniest joke I ever heard. These two ball players went duck hunting. They were out in the marshes for over an hour. They didn't get anything, didn't shoot anything. Finally, one says to the other, "I wonder why we haven't got any ducks." The other one says, "Maybe we're not throwing the dog up high enough."
He was also in a series, a TV series, Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 4 seasons.
Hey, what's your problem?
Hey, bud.
I just gave you a couple of real good shots and you didn't come back with anything.
I know, George. I finally realized that life is too short to waste on trying to even the score.
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean.
However, if it'll make you feel better, I could say something like, why don't you take that football and set it up your nose? Lord knows there's room for it.
And a wonderful movie called Major League.
On into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. For the Indians, one run on, let's see, one hit. That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Got really famous from light beer commercials. You must remember this one.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my light beer from Miller.
Down the track!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Come on.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Good seats, hey, buddy? He missed the tag!
I know who he is now. I just looked it up. He was that Major League film was, gosh, when was that? In the 80s. Charlie Sheen was in it.
Charlie Sheen, yeah. So that's Bob Uecker. He passed away. That would be a headline story in Wisconsin, where he was the play-by-play announcer for Milwaukee Brewers, but just a wonderfully funny guy. He got into the Baseball Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. He said, I don't want to sound like sour grapes here, but I thought I should be here as a player. But of course, he only batted 200 or so. He came up, and traditionally what happens at these Hall of Fame things, these players come up and they read from a prepared speech that somebody has written for them, or they wrote, or they at least have notes. Not Uecker. He went up with no notes, no speech, and just winged it for 18 minutes. And he was unbelievably funny. Just a great, great talent. Very funny man, Bob Uecker, 90. Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. You remember Sam and Dave, that group?
Yes.
89 years old, Sam Moore. His Dave was Dave Prater. And they had big hits with, like, this one, Soul Man. And Hold On, I'm Coming. You heavy, please, lean on me, but late in his career, this is one of my favorite songs. You could put this in my top five. A song by a guy named Tony Joe White was a hit by a guy named Brooke Benton. But I love this version by Conway Twitty, of all people.
Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night.
And Sam Moore, Rainy Night in Georgia.
A rainy night in Georgia. A rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world.
Man, that's tasty. I love that. Also passing away was Peter Yarrow. He was 86. Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary. If I Had a Hammer, big song.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning.
Nowadays it probably would be If I Had a Bauli MH37HD Power Hammer.
If I had a hammer out of danger,
but it was a simpler time then.
Did they do Puff the Magic Dragon, or I'm thinking of something different?
No, you're right. That's it. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, I love that song.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei.
Some kind of a vaguely suggestive song about smoking weed, I guess, though nobody never knew for sure. And they had other hits, Leaving on a Jet Plane, the John Denver song.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
Peter Yarrow, 86. The filmmaker David Lynch has checked out, 78.
This is the Twin Peaks theme.
Did you ever see Eraserhead?
No, but I heard that was one of the craziest movies ever. I don't feel like I want to see it.
I don't even know. It just won't be something you'll forget if you do see it. But it's weird. Yeah. I don't recommend it. It's just weird.
Oh, you are sick.
He had other movie hits like Blue Velvet.
Oh, mommy. Mommy. Mommy.
Mulholland Drive. And then, of course, the TV show Twin Peaks, shot right there, partly at least, in North Bend, Washington. And a lot of it took place at Tweed's Cafe there in North Bend, which is still there.
The filmmaker Lynch chose the Valley to shoot the show in 1990, and it became a bona fide hit.
While the cafe served up its specialty, cherry pie.
How about a nice big piece of cherry pie?
Two more pieces of this incredible pie.
And finally, one of my personal favorites, indulge me, please, a 71-year-old Gus Williams. They called him the Wizard. He was with the Seattle Supersonics in the one and only year that they were the NBA champs, back in 1979.
Gus moves, and Henderson comes right with him. And from the perimeter, it's two more. And for the game, that's 11 points for Gus Williams. He's averaging 28 an outing.
What a player, Gus Williams.
I wanted to go back to Lynch because he also was phenomenal in the Steven Spielberg movie, The Fablemans. That was
he made a couple years ago.
Have you watched that? There is a scene in that movie that at the very end that just is so powerful. If you get a chance to watch it, he's dynamite in that movie.
Yeah, he's playing the part of somebody else, though. I forget who it is. Do you remember? I did see the movie. I don't remember the ending, but it's kind of a vaguely autobiographical movie for Spielberg. Growing up and becoming a young filmmaker and all of that. So Lynch is playing. Who is he playing?
I'm looking it up. Plays John Ford.
John Ford, the director. Thank you. That's it. Yeah. Arguably the greatest director ever. Okay. So before we started today, we were going to go at a particular time, and then you texted me and said, I can't go at the time that we schedule. I'll have to be a little bit later because I'm stuck in a meeting, presumably a Zoom meeting or a phone meeting, with some people that are boring my socks off.
I think I called it a stupid meeting with boring people.
Yeah, I didn't want to characterize it. I thought you should do it.
It just was. Do you ever sit in these meetings where they just all these, this word salad, like they just say a bunch of crap that isn't saying anything. And I'm not even going to get into what the meeting was about. It doesn't really matter. But I just didn't even participate. I just did my nails. Let's see, what else did I? Oh, I reconciled my bank statement
during the meeting.
I'm on camera, but they don't see me. What's going on below my chest? Right, they just see my face, and every once in a while, I'll nod.
I
just do the nod, and if somebody says something and I hear somebody chuckle, I don't know what it is, I'll chuckle too. It probably wasn't funny, but I'll still chuckle. So I'm appearing to be participating in the meeting, but I am so checked out. I am like, I'm completely checked out. And as we're getting towards, and I'm very, very, very aware of time constraints. I start meetings on time. I end them on time. I want to make sure that I am respecting people's time, and these people, they hadn't even wrapped anything. I think I texted you about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes before the meeting was supposed to end. I could tell they were nowhere near getting where they needed to be. That's why I told you, hey, Pat, I'm going to be a little late, because they don't wrap meetings up on time. It's infuriating, as though I have nothing else to do but sit around and wait for you to wrap up the meeting 10 or 20 minutes late.
Do you remember the early days of cell phones? I don't know if you ever did this. They would, if you weren't in the right area, they would always cut out. And so I got pretty good at I'm starting to cut out. So I do that, you know, maybe I'm out on the golf course playing golf.
You would be faking it is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in a meeting. And
I'm sorry, I'm in a bad cell. L area. I'm going to call you back later.
Could you do that on your Zoom call? Could you create some sort of a video disturbance that would then suggest that you couldn't stay on? Or you could turn your video off all of a sudden.
No, it's just easier just to pretend I'm participating.
Okay.
It's just easier.
Whatever.
God. Get to the point. I struggle with long-winded nonsense that really doesn't have a point.
Yeah. And that sort of thing belongs on this podcast, not in a meeting, for God's sakes.
I know.
I'm totally with
so
you on that.
Frustrated, and I took it out on you, and I'm sorry. I got mad.
So my wife and I don't know where she saw this, but it was online somewhere, and a guy was offering some furniture for $100. And it was one of those long couches, but on both ends of the couch were Barca loungers, you know, those things. And then there was a smaller love seat one with another two Barca loungers and then a middle section. Then the third piece of this set was just a straight out Barca lounger. Now, we already have two Barca loungers in another room. So now I counted them up yesterday. We now have 8 Barca loungers in our house. If that doesn't say you're an old fart, nothing does.
Yeah, I can't believe you've turned into those people.
Well,
that's
I will not
have Barca loungers. Will never ever come into my home. I'm not trying to be snooty or highfalutin.
Yeah.
Or you know, any of that, but I just don't like the aesthetics of. A Barca lounger parked in the middle of my living room. I don't like it.
It doesn't look bad. You know, they don't obviously read as Barca loungers when you walk into the room unless you have them opened up. I don't know. When I sit in a Barca lounger, I never open it up. I always just sit in there.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know why we have the Barca loungers.
You're wasting the whole point of a Barca lounger, which is to just go into a coma and...
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I told you I wrecked my shoulder and I'm having hip problems, so...
Yeah.
A couple of nights I had to go downstairs in our house. We have an upstairs bedroom. I had to go downstairs and sleep in the Barca lounger. So it worked for that. But
I hear that for a lot of folks who have sleep problems or back problems, the only way they can sleep is in a Barca lounger. So I may have to eat my words someday when I'm, you know, facing a physical issue that won't allow me to sleep in my bed. I may be installing a Barca lounger. So
that is really going to the dark side. I hope that never happens for you.
I hope so.
If I can't sell it, I'll keep it moaning before I give it away. Oh, Daddy, yes, before I give it away.
The reason I brought it up is because, as I said, I got this messed up shoulder. I can't lift stuff. I'm not exactly a Charles Atlas anyway, but, you know, I can move furniture around and stuff like that. Can't get that. These things are way too heavy. The problem with a Barca lounger is a lot of it is metal underneath all the fabric. I got a neighbor to help me move them into the garage, and they've been sitting in there for like 10 days. Yesterday, my wife calls up, and we've hired these guys before. They're called the College Hunks.
Yeah.
And so the premise is that they're these guys, men, presumably.
I've seen a hunk of woman before, but I bet she's not employed at
them. I've seen some really strong women, so I think that's certainly possible. But these are generally, I think you would, by the word hunk, you would assume it's a guy. So we've hired them before, and I mentioned this before. One time they came to the door, doorbell rang, my wife came to the door, and this little, I would say he was 5'5", squat, round man, and another
Ichabod
Crane guy. Yeah, a round man. A short. He was more of a ball shape than a human shape.
I'm like a rubber ball, baby. That's all that I am to you.
And then with him was a rather taller but extremely thin man. And the guy said to Patty, "Not what you were expecting, is it?" No, because you see these college hunks driving around. They got this cartoon arm hanging out the window like it's a big
muscle
guy.
So basically Laurel and Hardy showed up to help you with the...
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you can't, you're picturing something else. Well, we had these two guys show up today, and they were fine, but they were not, and I want to be charitable about this, but they were not incredibly bright. So I was thinking, college hunks? Maybe GED hunks? Possibly middle school hunks? But not college hunks. I was going to inquire, hey, what college are you guys going to? But I didn't. So they move all this stuff in. Anyway, my point is I would recommend them, whether they are college bound or they're just out of kinder care. They do a good job, and I'd recommend them. And let's see if they'll, throw some money at our show.
Hey, I wanted to, because you skedaddled right through the dead people, and I wanted to stop you and say that on our last episode, we had talked about the passing of Sugar Pie DeSanto. And I have to tell you, I had never heard of her. I had never heard her music. And I want to thank you because a lot of my playlists have music that you've introduced me to, either through the podcast or through the years that we were on the radio together. And I played a whole playlist of Sugar Pie when I was cleaning my kitchen the other day.
Wow.
And, oh my God, she's good.
Now you can't have three and still love me now. True love is a golden rule. So make up your mind to have one at a time. But mama didn't raise no.
So I highly recommend if anybody likes, these sort of torch singers or Ella Fitzgeralds or the, I can't remember who else I'm thinking of, but man, she's good. So thank you. It was really good.
She's great. She never had a huge hit or she was not, on anybody's tip of anybody's tongue as a performer, but it would be sad, I guess, to realize that long after you've gone that now people are discovering me. I think I told you this. We stayed at, this last summer especially, my wife and I stayed at various B&Bs, around. Some of the experiences were fine. They were fun. Most of them were. Some were a bit disastrous. But we stayed at one in Portland. It was a Portland, Oregon neighborhood, but not near downtown. It was more on the outskirts of town. But it was a really vibrant neighborhood. A lot of younger people living there, a lot of coffee shops, really trendy restaurants. We stayed in this apartment building, and we're on the corner. And I remember we're settling down to sleep for the night. And there's a crosswalk just outside our window. And it had, this is what we heard all night long.
Wait, 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 wait.
All night long, we're listening to that. It's one of those warnings that's telling you don't walk across the crosswalk right now.
It's for blind people. That's for blind people.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's not for people who are trying to sleep. Because this thing was really loud. And it was all night long.
Wait, wait.
So I just went and recorded a little bit of it, as you just heard. And I'm trying to figure out how to repurpose it. For example, I could say, "Wow, I'd love to hear from you. I'll,
wait
your call." Or, "The guy who played the dad on The Waltons was an actor named Ralph."
Wait.
Or, "I can't believe the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus."
Wait.
"Hey, you look like you're putting on some."
Wait.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
I'll keep working on it.
The wait is over.
Hey, I have a neighbor over here. And if you live in a neighborhood, you're going to have a neighbor.
Right.
And this sounds so petulant. It's a woman. It's a couple. But the female of
Don't
the
say
two,
the female. She's not a female. She's a woman.
Well, what's
we're
going to
get into that, the use of the word female as an adjective,
as
a noun when it's an adjective.
Look, I don't want to get into that controversy, okay?
Oh, we're getting into it. You might want to play your little wait thing then.
Yeah? All right. Well, get into it.
We'll get into that later. But she's a woman. She's a female human being, which is a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's a synonym. What's wrong?
Female is an adjective, not a noun.
It can be both.
I think you are dead wrong. It's both a noun and an adjective.
It's diminishing when you use it as an adjective.
Why? In your opinion.
A lot of people's opinions.
And why do you hold that opinion?
Because it reduces us. Adult human beings are women. And if you just call us females, what am I, an ant? What am I, a jackrabbit? What? So you're reducing us to our biological reproductive capabilities when you're saying female,
brother.
Bunch of females.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
The following was found on the internet.
Our next spelling bee contestant is...
Lincoln, your word is woman.
Can I have the definition, please?
Why don't you ask Judge One that question?
Can I have the definition of woman, please?
No.
Why not?
The thing is, a woman
What she's trying to say is that each person gets to define for themselves what a woman is.
So can you define it?
No.
Why? I just want to know the definition of woman.
And that makes you a hateful little bigot, Lincoln.
I don't hate anybody.
How about we just use it in a sentence? Abortion is a woman's right.
If a woman makes an accusation, we should believe all women.
Joe Biden picked a woman as a running mate.
Ketanji Brown Jackson is the first black woman on the Supreme Court.
Hillary Clinton should have been the first woman president.
UPenn swimmer Leah Thomas is a woman.
I'm a woman.
I'm not a woman.
How can you use in all those sentences if you don't know the definition?
Listen, you intolerant little bigot, just spell the word so we can get a girl up here to win this whole thing.
The definition of woman is woman.
Hmm?
Woman. A woman. Woman! Are you happy?
That doesn't make any sense.
It's a simple word. We all know what a woman is. Just spell woman!
Okay. Woman. W-O-M-A-N. Woman.
Wrong! Now get out of here! Kenny, you're up next.
The preceding was found on the internet.
So she's a woman. That lives across the way and seems to have female characteristics.
See, you're using it correctly now. That's an adjective.
And she is the slowest. She's slower than a slug.
Doing what? Slower than a slug?
Anything.
What?
Doing anything.
Oh.
I see her walk out to their garbage thing because it's in within our sight here. And it could not be. It's hard to describe. I think who could live their life at that speed? You'd never get anything done. It's just, she just kind of saunters out slow as can be. When she gets in her car, it takes her forever to finally pull out of the driveway.
Oh my God.
And then when she finally comes back, it takes her forever to get out of the car. I mean, I'm talking minutes, Lisa.
Wait a minute. How old is this female?
Not old, probably in her mid to late 30s, I would say.
Oh, is she, does she have any physical limitations?
No, she's just slow. She is, I think instead of blood coursing through her veins, she has molasses. And I know it's not any important thing, but it just bugs me. And I'm ashamed of myself for being bugged by it. But when I look out the window and there she is, doo-doo. So tell me how wrong I am. Rip into me.
I don't think you're wrong. I think that would be very annoying. But
I mean, who am I to tell people what speed they should move at?
Do you feel like she has anything else better to do? Maybe she's just...
Maybe not.
You see, my health is failing me.
and I am going down slow. Yes, I am. Out of this world somewhere.
She does have a child.
Do you know these people? Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
let me ask
bit.
You this.
I know them a little bit. Yeah.
Hold on. So here's what would be fun is if you invited them over for dinner and see how long it takes her to get through her meal. She could be there for hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would fix something that was slow cooked. That's for sure. I mean, it's stunning to me. I thought, oh, everybody, you know, maybe my foot went to sleep one day and I'm walking out to stick my garbage can by the curb. And yeah, that could explain why I'm going slow. But this is consistent. It's unvarying. It's always as slow as you could be.
Now, have you, you said she's,
she makes a sloth look like a speed demon.
Okay. She makes a sloth look like a speed demon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pinched about this.
Well, I know, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because why does that bother me? It shouldn't.
Can I ask you this?
None of my
business. Have you observed the man of the manor, and is he the same? Does he match her?
No, he seems to move in a normal, what I guess we would consider a normal human speed. You know, he's
I was going to say, if he is moving slow too, maybe their property has bombs all over it or landmines, and they just have to be very careful.
Well, see, you're trying to find some explanation, and I appreciate that.
Do, 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 do.
Watch where they're walking!
Do, 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 do.
Walking slow down the avenue through my old neighborhood. Don't know why I'm happy. I got no reason to feel this good. Maybe it's because I'm all alone and I got no place to go. And everywhere I look, I see another person I'll never know.
But
you can ask her.
I'm just thinking, like, what if their house is on fire? And I run over there and I go, hey, your house is on fire. Get out quick. And I've given her plenty warning. And then she perishes. And then their husband comes home and says, hey, thanks a lot. You could have saved my wife. But
like,
and I said, I told her the house was on fire. I told her to get out. And she just kind of ambled her way through the living room and then into the bedroom. And
caught fire.
And then caught fire and then burst into flames. And even when she was in flames, she didn't run hard. I'm going to hell, aren't I?
Yeah, I'll see you there. I'll see you there. Hey, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
I read an article. This was in the New Yorker.
Oh, my.
Wait, what was that?
Well, you don't say, hey, I saw an article. It was in the Puyallup Tribune.
Wait, maybe it was. I might have gotten them mixed up.
Maybe it's reprinted from the Puyallup Tribune to the New Yorker. Yeah,
exactly. That was talking about this ridiculous. You probably know this because you watch sports. I don't watch sports. I haven't actually witnessed this, but apparently, the way that Donald Trump dances, that really awkward sort of pumping, the way he sort of does that weird arm pumpy thing.
Yeah.
It's just the dumbest dance ever. But apparently this has invaded sports now, where if guys make a touchdown, they'll do the Trump dance. And it's unknown whether or not they're doing it as a tribute to him or doing it as to mock them. Have you seen that Trump dance as a celebration on the field? You have?
Yeah, I have. Well, everybody's seen it. It's just
I know. But I mean, is that true? Is that people are now adopting this dance? I think it's so silly.
Well, they might be. I don't know that. Bill Maher, the comedian, likens that movement of you have to see it, but Trump's got two hands that the right hand is going, you know, to the right and back, and the left hand doing the same oppositely.
Right.
And how to delicately put this, Bill Maher says it looks like he's pleasuring two guys at the same time. That's the way I'll put it.
Yes, exactly. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah. And then when you think about that and then watch it, then you really get it. Oh, yeah, that's what it does look like. But it's funny you'd bring that up, because I was thinking of this the other day. I was watching a game, and these guys, they make a touchdown, and they start dancing around, doing handstands, pounding their chests, strutting around, pointing to the sky, all of these different things. And I'm thinking, what if a person in everyday life, in everyday job, celebrated like that, like a septic tank cleaner guy, and you're jumping around, yes, yes, ho-ho, ho-ho, clean as a whistle. Or, you know, you're like a working at McDonald's. Yes, yes, those are the best fries ever. Yeah. Somehow, for athletes, it's okay to jump around and celebrate, but anybody else is going to be seen as a nut.
Now, has this...
I go to church. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last... You're forgiven. Yes! Yes! Hello!
Thank you, Father.
Has this always been a thing? How... In the old days, like, you've been around for a while, so...
Yes, I have.
When they were playing football in the 60s and 70s.
What,
no. And wasn't there a time when they got penalized for being too many antics in the end zone? Wasn't
yeah, they used to call the NFL the No Fun League. That's what NFL would stand for, because they would proscribe anybody from celebrating too much. They said it was bad sportsmanship or whatever. Seems like they can get away with everything now. I don't see anybody much cited for it, unless they get
that
too,
was considered
too excessive.
Bad sportsmanship?
Yeah, well, whatever. It's just, you know, there was no really good explanation for why can't you jump around and celebrate. Some guys like to jump up into the stand. I just think somehow in sports, and in particular, that would be football.
Yeah.
You don't see it in baseball so much.
No.
Or even basketball. But football, they just love to just jump around and parade around, moonwalk, whatever.
Around.
It looks silly to me. These are men. These are
grown adult men.
Now, I don't want you to misinterpret this, but I will say this. Yeah, okay, maybe he murdered some people. But God love him, O.J. Simpson, when he scored a touchdown, he simply dropped the ball and walked coolly to the sidelines. No celebrating, no hot dog stuff, just like the old expression is, act like you've been there before. You know, like it's not your very first touchdown.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Like,
well, these guys act like they've never scored a touchdown before.
Right.
And you're seeing it more and more and more now.
All right. Well, I just wanted to know what you had seen and thought about that. I do have one more thing if we have time.
Oh, yes.
And this one I may have found in the Puyallup Tribune. I'm not really sure where I found this story. I don't know. But there was, I'm always interested in phobias and what people are afraid of. I don't know why. I'm fascinated by things that don't scare me that might scare somebody else.
Right.
Or things that I'm scared of that somebody might not find scary, but then they have to belittle me for it. Like, remember, I used to be very scared of spiders, and I went to treatment for that. It was off the charts.
To me, that one is not silly, because I mean, spiders can be venomous. I mean, they could, you know, there is a potential danger there. I mean, you could justify it that way.
Sure.
Snakes, you know, things like that.
Well, I read a story about a woman who is afraid of bananas. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Listen, I have this story right
here. Not afraid of slipping on one.
No. No. She's Swedish. She's a minister, and apparently her phobia of bananas has become public. How embarrassing for her after some leaked emails revealed this extreme aversion she has. And she will actually make sure that any room she's about to enter does not have bananas in it. No trace of bananas is she demands in any meeting she goes to. At least she's got to make sure that if she goes to any conferences, there are no bananas there. But I don't understand. Like, did she get whipped with a banana when she was a kid? Where do these phobias come up?
Well, they always say that every phobia has a source. I mean,
yes.
I told you my dad was afraid of heights. It harkened back to when he was a kid. He was walking on the railing above a waterfall, and he slipped, and then he was hanging off this fence right over this 120-foot waterfall, looking straight down to the water. Somebody pulled him up and rescued him. He's afraid of heights ever since. I had an aunt who was afraid of frogs because her brother dropped a frog down her blouse when she was a kid. And that was it. You can almost always source. So, as you alluded, what is it with a banana that got this woman mortally afraid of bananas the rest of her life? Should we speculate? Or the story didn't get into that, huh?
No, it doesn't say why. It just says that somebody said that she needs to get some professional help.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I think like when you got over your spider fill, fear, they probably began you with tiny spiders and then worked your way up to tarantulas or something. I'm just guessing. So maybe for her, she should start with something small, like a little green pepper or a chili that's a similar shape, and then get bigger.
A Vienna sausage. She could start with that.
Paint it yellow to add verisimilitude to it, and then just work your way up to where you're finally embracing not just a banana, but an entire hand of bananas.
Oh, God, that would just send her over the edge.
I could see the ultimate horror movie for her.
Coming to theaters.
Night of the banana. In the produce section, no one can hear you scream. Rated B.
Yep, rated B.
Here's the thing, too, though. I feel badly for her because her whole life she's missed out on the delightfulness that is a banana split.
Yeah, she can't even probably go near a Dairy Queen.
In the land of Dairy Queen, we treat you right.
Welcome to the place where everything is pure and enchanting.
Discover the one place where good taste comes through.
Discover the Dairy Queen banana split.
In the land of Dairy Queen, we treat you right.
And then she's got the potassium deficiency as a result of it, too.
Yeah, I got all sorts of questions.
It's just a nightmare. It's just a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I think it's time for us to split, Banana.
All right.
Now, I don't know if you're going to like this joke. I had a lot of trouble finding one. A lot of trouble.
Really?
And I finally settled on this one. It's a religious theme. Okay?
Oh, good. I like those.
A priest decides to take a walk to the pier. He looks around and he stops to he's watching a fisherman load his boat. And the fisherman asks the priest if he's ever fished before, to which the priest says,
"No, I never have."
The fisherman asks him if he'd like to join him for a couple hours of fishing. The priest agrees. So the fisherman baits the hook for him and says,
"Give it a shot, Father."
Well, after a few minutes, the priest hooks a big fish and struggles to get it into the boat. And the fisherman says,
"Wow, would you look at that big son of a bitch?"
And the priest goes,
"Pardon me, I'm a priest. Would you watch your language?"
Fisherman's thinking quickly.
Sorry, Father. I should have explained. That particular kind of fish is called a son of a bitch.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
So after the trip, the priest brings the fish to the church, and he stops to see the bishop. And the priest says,
"Hey, would you look at the size of this son of a bitch?"
Oh my God.
And the bishop says,
"I'm shocked. You're a priest. This is the house of the Lord."
And the priest says,
"I'm sorry, Your Excellency. The fish is called a son of a bitch, and I caught it."
This is the bishop talking now.
Okay.
You know, I could clean this son of a bitch, and we could have him for dinner. So, you think the joke's over, but it's not. So the bishop cleans the fish and takes it to the Mother Superior.
No.
And the bishop says, "Mother, could you cook this son of a bitch for dinner?" Mother Superior says,
"Oh, Your Grace, what language!"
"No, no, no, Mother. That's what this fish is called. It's called a son of a bitch. Father caught it, and I cleaned it, and we want you to cook this son of a bitch." She said,
"Well, I'd love to cook that son of a bitch."
And as luck would have it, this is such a stupid joke. As luck would have it, the Pope is in town.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
You knew that was coming. And the Pope stops by the diocese where he is invited for dinner. And he thinks the fish is great, the Pope says. And he asks, "Where did you get it?" And the priest said,
"Well, I caught the son of a bitch."
And the bishop says,
"And I cleaned the son of a bitch."
And Mother Superior said,
"And I cooked the son of a bitch."
Oh my God.
The Pope stares at them for a minute with a steely gaze. And then he takes off his hat, leans back in his chair, puts his feet up on the table, lights a cigarette, and says, "You know something? You f***ers are all right."
Oh my God.
"We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We've got string beans and onions and big juicy lemons and all kinds of fruit and say. We've got an old-fashioned tomato, a Long Island potato.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas.
We have no bananas today."
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.